Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, hey, do I need a VA? I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own VA. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant, and mindfully answer the question, hey, do I need a VA? Let's get this episode started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. We're in season 3, and today is episode 7. Today, we're talking about the at-will relationship between clients and virtual assistants. What that basically means is either side can fire the other one. And fire feels like a strong term, but I remember the first time my dad said it was okay to fire a client. And it just meant that we're not always the right fit. And even if we got going and we did stuff, it doesn't mean the relationship lasts forever. And so being an at-will relationship means that you can say, this isn't working anymore on both sides. We want to make sure, though, that if you're the one to end the relationship, that you do it amicably. You don't wait until you're like in divorce court going, he did this, she said that. When the thought kind of starts to trickle in that maybe things aren't working out, that you have that hard conversation. And you bring up the points that are sticking so that you give the other side time to respond, make changes, or you both say, yeah, it's time to consciously uncouple in this relationship. So I want to open it up to the group, who with me is Leanne Aremley, Bree BV, and Sydney Hubbard. I sometimes forget to introduce you guys, but you're always with me, and I'm always grateful for that. But I want to open it up to you guys. Have you ever had to end a relationship? And without any specifics, kind of what led up to that? And also, how did it go? How did it turn out?
I'll start. I've had to fire a couple over the years or end relationships. And most of the time, it's amicable. They kind of see it coming. It's just the work wasn't working. The work styles weren't working. Most of the time, it's a communication problem. So, you know, they speak differently than I understand, or I speak differently than they understand. And that's a lot of it, at least for the ones I've had to fire. It just doesn't work sometimes. And it's fine. You go on, they find other ones. Sometimes I help them find the right VA. Sometimes they're like, no, I got somebody else in mind. It just kind of works both ways.
I've had a few different situations over the years. I've definitely, when I first started out, fell into that waiting too long period with a specific client until it got a little bit more. It wasn't like it would got into a bad place, but it just wasn't the way I would have liked to see it have gone. And I've had it where it's come up where scarcity came into it, where they had some things happen in their business and they weren't making as much as they were. So then having to have to pay for help, but not being able to do things all on their own was a frustration. So then it was like, okay, how can we best suit and help you and support you in the budget that you have? And or maybe we're just not the fit right now and you need to downsize to somebody who is. The other way, I've only had to do it a couple times, but there's been two other situations where either our working styles are different and I like to have buffer or work with a little bit things out. And there was things that were just a little bit more in last minute mode for me. And that was getting where I was just anxious, like losing sleep at night over their deadlines. And I just, I'm like, this isn't a fit. And the other one that comes to mind is that somebody who we had worked remotely, we got some systems built, and they just realized that they really wanted to work with somebody in person. So they had the groundwork to go and knew what they were looking for and were able to then find somebody who was local that could come and sit with them and help them in person. And that was what they decided and found that they were looking for.
That's fair, actually. Like, I had a client who we had a very long relationship, but the direction, she wanted to change directions. And the direction she was heading down didn't really match with what I wanted to do with her down the road. And so it just seemed like a natural division to let each other go. And I remember bringing up, hey, we should have this conversation. And she's like, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And how about you just do this? And I was like, oh, okay. I guess great minds think alike. But Bree, to that last client, the point, sometimes as you're working with a VA, you'll start to pick up, oh, I need something different, or I need more, or I need in person, I need a different support person. And I think that's a realistic and honorable reason to end a relationship. Because I don't know about y'all, but I think standing for the client is making sure that they're getting what they need from the person that they need it from and everything. And sometimes it's, you know, we're there for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And sometimes, you know, we set up the process and then they can find somebody to implement the process. And sometimes that person isn't. So, Cindy, did you ever have to let a client go?
Yeah, I think kind of what Bree was talking about, it was similar with a scarcity situation. I wasn't far enough into my business to recognize that things weren't working earlier. I kept telling myself that things would be different, that things would change. So I do think I let it go on too long. But I think in the end, we both knew that things weren't working the way that they should be working. We're still in a good place. We just don't work together anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's really cool that you learn something for every one of those experiences, right? You kind of learn to recognize something a little bit different, or even what our own needs are. Like, I didn't realize that working in a last minute type of thing, like I could do it here and there, but I didn't realize when it was an ongoing thing, how much anxiety that gave me until it happened. Right. And then I learned what I didn't want. So it kind of goes on both sides, that learning curve piece too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I will say to any clients who are listening that it's okay to try out different people, because you are going to learn different lessons with each person. You're going to go, oh, you know, this worked really well, but this didn't. So I need someone who can do this and not that. But what I learned from the not that was the flip side of, oh, I need somebody now to do it this way. Or, you know, I mean, I learned something new from you guys every episode. So I could imagine that in any VA client relationship, you're going to learn skills, tools, standards, and boundaries that, you know, we've said before, you don't know what you don't know until you experience it. So even if the relationship is just there for you to experience something that you need to shift or change or learn, then I still feel like it's a good return on the investment to have spent that time with the relationship. But the one thing that I do want to say, and we all agreed on this, is have the hard conversation. If something's not working, don't just ghost your VA. Have the hard conversation and share what your concerns are, your reasons, and if it's possible, give them the opportunity to fix or adjust those things. But if it's not going to work out and they're not fixable things, then it's okay. But we need to learn so that we don't keep doing it with new clients. And it gives us that closure. It gives you that closure, because then like Leanne said, we might be able to go, oh, if that's what you're looking for, I know somebody who can step in and take over. And we can offer to train or support. Or if you haven't done the documentation, do the documentation to then hand it over, have a more seamless transition. But if you just disappear, we don't know what we don't know. And we can't do anything for you. So we also felt, when we were brainstorming this episode, that do it before the relationship goes bad, because every relationship has feelings
And, you know, you want to be able to share yours, have them justified or be heard. Both sides do. So there's that. What other things can clients consider when they're nearing the end of a relationship so that they, if they do bring it up, can make it as seamless and easeful as possible?
I think a big one is just going through your initial handoff list and thinking about the things that you handed off to your VA and thinking about what it would look like to take them back on. And I think that's where those processes come in, that documentation, asking for that from your VA, asking for them to make that documentation if they haven't already. I think that's a huge part because otherwise it can feel really overwhelming and stressful, and it can even make it so that you stretch out a relationship that shouldn't be stretched out because you don't know what it would look like for you to take back on those responsibilities. So I think just going through and even having a conversation with your VA, asking them, hey, what did I hand off to you? What work are you doing? How are you doing it? I think that's a good first step.
I think it's also valuable to come up with a plan to hand over any assets or things that might have been made throughout the process of your working relationship. So if there's Canva templates or social media graphics or, you know, videos and things like that, like anything that was created together, what's the plan and where could that be stored so that they then have it for a future? So it's not like they just had it made and now they don't get to use it again or are not able to go back to it. I always try to make sure that like anything that we've created, sometimes what we'll do is like a reference document even, and like, here's all the things, this is all the processes and everything's linked so that it's one place that they use as a resource and then they can have access to where everything is without having to be like, where's this, where's that, or whatever. They get basically like a table of contents of where everything is that's linkable and things like that too, so that they get to keep all those things for future use.
I think the biggest part for me is always making sure that the client has all their passwords and everything reverts back to them. So if a VA's been in with the client's password, then that password now needs to be changed. So as the VA leaves, the client needs to now come in and change everything. The client doesn't even know they've handed off those passwords or doesn't remember. Now what? So you kind of need to think things through the security wise, make sure that your VA is no longer get into your business. Not that I'm saying anybody would, but you know, things happen. But also, so that's a protection thing for the client, but it's also protecting the VA as they back out. So as they leave, you want to make sure that as a VA, you're now hands off. So if anything goes wrong in that business, an account gets hacked or whatever, you are no longer in there. You're not responsible. It wasn't from you. You want to make sure that it's nice, clean, separated. The biggest one that I see is, okay, I'm giving you back your account. And so they take it, they change the password, but it has my phone number on it. So when they go to get in and there's two-step authentication, I'm getting texts saying, here's your code. And I'm like, oh, which client is that for? I have no idea because your codes don't tell you that. So make sure that everything is switched back over to your client. That way they can continue working and you are clearly out of their business.
Yeah. And I use a password vault. So for one client, it's unique to them. They gave me, you know, they have a team access for it. But on other clients, their things are in my password vault. So, you know, I had to make sure for one client, she's like, which programs do you have access to? And I had to let her know what all of those were so she could go in and change the passwords. But then I also had to go into my password vault and delete it all out. So you kind of talked about password vaults and technology. And if you're just starting out with a virtual assistant, you might consider getting a password vault to put those passwords in, because then you can just change the password at that high level and you don't necessarily have to change every single password. But also make sure that you can actually get into the technology and the software. And if you share, you know, collaboration spaces, that you can get into them. And one of my clients, he wanted to make sure that he was the owner of all the documents and materials. That way, if I ever stepped out, he was the owner of it. So we did talk in a past episode about setting up those things. So if you're just starting to look at it, consider not because you're ready to end the relationship before it even begins, but if something were to happen, then you could then easily remove someone from the folder and still retain access to it and things like that. It can help to set it up right initially so that it's easy to onboard a new person and offboard someone that you're not working with.
I think it's also a good practice even just for if life happens, right? Having those, some of those things in place anyways.
Yeah. And this just came up in an article that I read. Clients, know where all your stuff is. Know where your passwords are. Know where your stuff is. Don't depend solely on your VA for that, because if something happens to them, they leave without warning. I mean, I know I've been ghosted by VAs, so it can go both ways. I mean, it does happen. Know where your stuff is and how to get into it, just in case.
That goes for everything, including things like your websites. A lot of clients will hand me their website and then they're out. And I'm like, you kind of need to be in. You need to be able to get into your own website. So things like that, you need to have an overarching password for your things like your Google Docs and your website and all those other things. It's not just, you know, Canva and your email and stuff. Like, it's everything. You need to make sure you have access to everything. And a lot of it comes down to, you can't just say, hey, VA, take over my business. That's not okay. You have to stay in it too. You have to be able to get into your stuff too. And that's really important as you back out, as a VA backs out, or if one of the other ghosts, you're in trouble if your VA ghosts and they have all your passwords.
So I know in my policies and procedures, aka contract, I talk about ending relationships. I ask for notice so that we can kind of wrap anything up. I have wording to that effect of, if we're not the right fit, talk with me about it. If we can work it out, great. And if not, that we have kind of a separation plan. Do you have any kind of wording in your agreements, or is that something that comes up in an interview process for anyone?
I know mine's in my agreement. It says I'd like 30 days, talk to me first, that kind of stuff. And then I renew my contracts once a year with my clients, sit down, talk to them, things like that. But yeah, I've decided to put it in the contract because some people aren't comfortable talking about the what ifs. And it's easier just to put it in writing. That way it's there. How about you, Brie?
Yeah, I have it in my contract. And I also have it part of the onboarding or the interview call and stuff too. We talk about it then as well. And kind of as starting agreements, like how we want to see communication go and what it could happen or what it could look like and things like that. And honestly, I start too with like, feedback's how we learn. So the more the feedback you can give us, like always giving an invitation for feedback and things like that to help keep things going or have a better idea of where things are at along the way.
I have a similar thing. I think Leanne's idea is really smart, checking in every year. I think even just in an earlier episode, we were talking about annual review, quarterly review. I think that this conversation's also kind of a part of that. If you look at it as a part of the health of a long-term relationship, then you really should be checking in regularly, giving each other feedback. And I think having it in writing also helps. That's why I have it in writing. But it starts the conversation.
Clients, if your VA does not have something like this in writing, because as Sydney said, not all VAs do, have it in your onboarding process, in your agreement, anything that you bring into the relationship. What do you need if a VA decides that they're not the right fit for you? What lead time do you need to do this? How can you create a safer space for a VA to go, you know, this isn't working for me, and not feel like they can't talk to you about it? So it can work both ways. I mean, we tend to guide our clients a little bit more than other types of VAs, but clients can absolutely have this element from their side too. I mean, I know I brought it to our relationship, so it can work both ways. Basically, at-will relationships can work both ways.
I think the other quick consideration too is if there's any non-disclosure things that are that have come up in your relationship. Like I have a non-disclosure clause in my contract. Some clients will want us to sign like an extra layer of non-disclosure. So then being clear on what that means at handoff time and for future, like are they able to use that in things they've created for you as part of their profile or things like that too. So being clear on those kinds of things, especially when you're ending the relationship, can be helpful too.
Thank you for being with us today on Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you have any questions at all, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com or connect with any one of us through our links in the link tree. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks. We'll see you next time.